Chapter 9. Hold my tongue as desired. For if my casual scorn, father years, should set thee trying to prove that there is any right or reason in the universe, thou wilt not accomplish it by doomsday. Small blame to her, however, she must cut her coat according to her cloth, as they would say below there. Spirit of the years, O would that I could move it to enchain thee, and shut thee up 1,000 years. To cite a grim terrestrial tale of one thy like, thou Iago of the incorporeal world, as they would say below there. Spirit of the pities, would thou couldst but move that scoped above percipience, sire, it cannot be. Shade of the earth, the spectacle proceeds. Spirit sinister, and we may as well give all attention thereto, for the evils at work in other continents are not worth eyesight by comparison. The ceremonial in the cathedral continues. Napoleon goes to the front of the altar, ascends the steps, and, taking up the crown of Lombardy, places it on his head. Napoleon, 'tis God has given it to me. So be it. Let any who shall touch it now beware. Reverberations of applause. The sacrament of the Massachusetts. Napoleon reads the coronation oath in a loud voice. Heralds, give ear. Napoleon, Emperor of the French and King of Italy, is crowned and throned. Congregation, long live the Emperor and King. Huzzah! Music. The Te-Deum. Spirit of the pities, that vulgar stroke of vantry he displayed, in planting on his brow the Lombard crown, means sheer erasure of the Luneville pacts, and lets confusion loose on Europe's peace for many an undawned year. From this rash hour Austria, but waits her opportunity by secret swellings of her armaments, to link her to his foes. I'll speak to him. He throws a whisper into Napoleon's ear. Lieutenant Bonaparte, would it not seemlier be to shut thy heart to these unhealthy splendors? Helmet thee for her, thou swore to first, fair liberty? Napoleon, who spoke to me? Archbishop, not I, sire. Not a soul. Napoleon, dear Josephine, my queen, didst call my name? Josephine, I spoke not, sire. Napoleon, thou didst not, tender spouse. I know it. Such harsh utterance was not thine. It was aggressive fancy, working spells upon a mind o'errant. The service closes. The clergy advance with the canopy to the foot of the throne, and the procession forms to return to the palace. Spirit of the years, officious sprite, thou art young, and dost not heed the cause of things which some of us have inculcated to thee here. Else wouldst thou not have hailed the emperor, whose acts do but outshape its governing. Spirit of the pities, I feel, sire, as I must. This tale of will and life's impulsion by incognizance I cannot take. Spirit of the years, let me then once again show to thy skeptic eye the very streams and currents of this all-enduring power, and bring conclusion to thy unbelief. The scene assumes the preternatural transparency before mentioned, and there is again beheld as it were the interior of a brain which seems to manifest the volitions of a universal will, of whose tissues the personages of the action form portion. Spirit of the pities, enough. And yet for very sorriness I cannot own the weird phantasma real. Spirit of the years, affection ever was illogical. Spirit ironic aside, how should the sprite own to such logic a mere juvenile who only came into being in what the earthlings call their tertiary age? The scene changes. The exterior of the cathedral takes the place of the interior, and the point of view recedes, the whole fabric smalling into distance and becoming like a rare, delicately carved alabaster ornament. The city itself sinks to miniature, the Alps show afar as a white corrugation. The Adriatic and the Gulf of Genoa appear on this, and on that hand, with Italy between them, till clouds cover the panorama.
Act 2nd, Scene I, the Dockyard, Gibraltar.
The rock is seen rising behind the town and the Alameda Gardens, and the English fleet rides at anchor in the bay, across which the Spanish shore from Algeciras to Carnero Point shuts in the west. Southward over the strait is the African coast.
Spirit of the years, our migratory proskynion now presents an outlook on the storied kelp rock, as preface to the vision of the fleets Spanish and French, linked for fell purposes. Recording angel reciting, their motions and maneuvers, since the fame of Bonaparte's enthronement at Milan swept swift through Europe's dumb communities, have stretched the English mind to wide surmise. Many well-based alarms which strange report much aggravates, as to the pondered blow, flutter the public pulse. All points in turn Malta, Brazil, Wales, Ireland, British Indiana being held as feasible for force like theirs, of lavish numbers and unrecking aim. Here, where is Nelson, questions every tongue, how views he so unparalleled a scheme? Their slow uncertain apprehensions ask. And Villeneuve puts to sea with all his force, what may he not achieve, if swift his course? Spirit of the years, I'll call in Nelson, who has stepped ashore for the first time these thrice 12 months and more, and with him one whose insight has alone pierced the real project of Napoleon. Enter Nelson and Collingwood, who pace up and down. Spirit of the pities, note Nelson's worn-out features. Much has he suffered from ghoulish cast anxiety. Nelson, in short, dear Cole, the letter which you wrote me had so much pith, that I was fain to see you, for I am sure that you indeed divine the true intent and compass of a plot which I have spelled in vain. Collingwood, I weighed it thus. Their flight to the Indies, being to draw us off, that and no more, and clear these coasts of us the standing obstacle to his device he cared, not what was done at Martinique, or where, provided that the general end should not be jeopardized, that is to say, the full united squadron's quick return. Gravina and Villeneuve, once back to Europe, can straight make Farrell, raise there the blockade, then haste to Brest, there to relieve Gantome, and next with 4 or 5 and 50 sail bear down upon our coast as they see fit. I read they aim to strike at Ireland still, as formerly, and as I wrote to you. Nelson, so far your thoughtful and sagacious words have hit the facts. But 'tis no Irish bay the villains aim to drop their anchors in, my word for it. They make the Wessex shore, and this vast squadron handled by Villeneuve, is meant to cloak the passage of their strength, massed on those transports we being kept elsewhere by feigning forces. Good God, Collingwood, I must be gone. Yet 2 more days remain ere I can get away. I must be gone. Collingwood, wherever you may go to, my dear lord, you carry victory with you. Let them launch, your name will blow them back, as soughest gales the gulls that beat against them from the shore. Nelson, good Collingwood, I know you trust in me, but ships are ships, and do not kindly come out of the slow docks of the Admiralty like wharfside pigeons when they are whistled for. And there's a damned disparity of force, which means tough work a while for you and me. The spirit of the years whispers to Nelson. And I have warnings, Collingwood, that my effective hours are shortening here. Strange warnings now and then, as 'twere within me, which, though I fear them not, I recognize. However, by God's help, I'll live to meet these foreign boasters. Yea, I'll finish them. And then well, gunner death may finish me. Collingwood, view not your life so gloomily, my lord. One charmed, a needed purpose to fulfill. Nelson. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.